Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally in the United States and worldwide in 75 countries. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on essential oils when we come back. Well, those who already walk submissively will say that there's no cause for alarm, but submissiveness is not our heritage. The First Amendment was designed to allow rebellion to remain as our heritage, and the Constitution was designed to keep government off the backs of the people. The Bill of Rights was added to keep the precincts of belief and of expression of the press, of political and social activities, free from government surveillance. Now, you know, I wished I'd have thought of that, but that quotation comes from Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas. Now, our princes, our politicians beller in the halls of Congress for more taxes, more spending, and more gun control, but you and I haven't heard anything intelligent come out of a politician's mouth in more than 75 years, now have we? That's why I contend that the only real reason, logic, or common sense left in America comes from our courts, not from the political process, not from our politicians, and certainly not from our lawyers or bureaucrats. Old Mayor Rothschild summed it up with a flair when he said, "You give me the money power, and I care not who makes the laws." Well, let me echo that by saying, "You give me the judicial power, and I care not who makes the laws either," because here in America, the real power is in our courts, not in our politics. Now, if you'd like to tap into that power of the courts, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. And be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. Remember, that's area code 417-273-4967. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, Courtroom Strategy and Procedure, our school, is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about a unique book. I rate this about a 1 in 100 book. I read a lot of books, but I haven't ever read anything quite like this. I've heard of oil and essential oil. I've heard of olive oil. I showed you last time that in one of the chapters, chapter 4, the olive and the olive oil are very ancient. It's a medicinal oil as well as a cooking oil. It's edible. It's used for fuel and fires. It's got a number of uses. Very popular oil around the world. Fairly pricey. You know, when we go to the grocery store, we like to buy canola oil and corn oil and the cheap stuff that kills us, the hydrogenated vegetable oil. But this olive oil is just the opposite to the killer oils. It is a healing oil. The author, David Stewart, wrote a book called Healing Oils of the Bible and a companion book, A Big Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple by David Stewart. It's an 850-page companion book going into the science and the chemistry of all of these essential oils, 850 pages. I would rate both books about a 1 in 100 read. I've never seen anything like them. If there's anything else out there, I don't know about it. Now, you could order these books, or either one, from Care Publications. It's RR4, that's Rural Route 4, Box 646, Marble Hill, Missouri, right here in the state of Missouri, 63764. The phone there is 573-238-4846. Let me give you that address and phone number once more. This is Care Publications. C-A-R-E Publications. RR. That's Rural Route 4, Box 646, Marble Hill, Missouri, 63764. And the phone number, 573-238-4846. All right, let's get into it. In Chapter 2, it says how and why oils can heal. You know, today, if you get sick, you're not going out here to the health food store and buy a bunch of oils. You wouldn't know what oils to buy or what to do with them. Now, my daughter has a kit, a package, and it has over 100 different types of oils. Over 100. I was amazed at all these different types of oils. 33 of them mentioned in the Bible. But they have chemical compounds. And these chemical compounds, for instance, my wife the other day was chit-chatting a little bit, and there's an oil of clove. Oil of cloves. And one drop of this oil of cloves has the chemical properties of, I think it was 400 pounds, more than 400 pounds of carrots. To get the same chemical property, the same amount of chemicals out of one drop of oil of cloves, you'd have to eat over 400 pounds of carrots. Now, I would say that's a pretty concentrated dose of whatever that medicinal chemical is in that oil of clove. And this fellow, Stewart, goes through and explains those intricacies in his book here called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple. But how these oils heal and why they heal is really an interesting little sidelight. He says that in addition to the essential oils of balm, spices, and myrrh, Jacob also sent the Egyptian emperor some nuts and almonds in Genesis 43:11. Now, the nuts would have included walnuts and pistachios, which, along with the almonds, were all sources of food oils for the Israelites. Oils that are pressed from nuts or seeds, however, are not particularly aromatic. While healthful as foods and useful as bases for perfumed massage oils or oils for anointing, they do not have any healing properties such as the oils of spices and other fragrant plants. So we see that plants produce two kinds of oil: non-aromatic fatty oils and fragrant essential oils. All healing oils are aromatic. Let me repeat that. All healing oils are aromatic, and here's why. They have an oleo gum resin base. Now, essential oils are found in the circulating juices of plants, which are technically called oleo gum resins. That's spelled O-L-E-O hyphen G-U-M hyphen R-E-S-I-N-S. Oleo gum resins. Following strict scientific definitions for the term, the resin part of the fluid is alcohol soluble, from which medicinal tinctures can be obtained. Tincture of benzoin is one of these, derived from the oleo gum resin of Anacha. Exodus 30, verse 34. In biblical times, this gum was sometimes extracted by the alcohol in wine. The Romans often added the oleo gum resin of myrrh to wine, which helped prevent it from vinegarizing or turning sour, and which also provided a narcotic to deaden pain. Wine laced with myrrh helped Roman soldiers endure the discomforts of military life, such as cold, damp nights on the ground. And such wine was also drunk by shepherds sleeping in the fields and was offered to Christ just before he was nailed to the cross. Mark 15, verse 23. The gum part of the plant fluid is water-soluble and was, in fact, extracted by soaking or boiling leaves, dried herbs, or flowers in water, creating aqueous solutions such as rose water. Gums also contain the sugar, carbohydrate, amino acid, and protein portions of the plant fluid. Oleo is the oil. It is the lipid-soluble, water-immersible portion of the plant fluid. In biblical times, the oleo was extracted in a variety of ways. Refer to chapter 12 on extracting essences in biblical times. Now, when these oils are extracted by steam distillation, the condensed vapors separate into oil and water. The watery portion of the distillate contains the water-soluble ingredients of the plant fluid as well as traces of emulsified oil. The resulting liquid also has healing and health benefits. These byproducts of distillation are called floral waters, essential waters, or hydrosols, and were also available in biblical times. Now, there are crude resins of frankincense and myrrh. For example, oils of frankincense and myrrh are extracted from their oleogum resins, which are crude exudates from the bark of the tree. The oils of frankincense and myrrh are also present throughout their leaves, flowers, and branches, but these are not usually used as the source for this oil. The nomadic tribesmen of southern Arabia and northern Africa have historically burned frankincense and myrrh wood for cooking fires and warmth, thus receiving the beneficial vapors of these oils through the smoke. The composition of the oleogum resins of these trees is approximately as follows. 60% gum, 35% resin, and 5% oil. Thus, you can see that the extracted oil in this case would be 20 times more concentrated than the natural oleogum resin. Both the distilled oil concentrates and the natural bark exudates have healing powers, and both were used in biblical times. As for proper use of the technical terms oleo, gum, and resin, we shall not conform to their strict scientific definitions in this book. The botanists, historians, biblical scholars, and encyclopedia writers whom we used as our sources of information on the plants of the Holy Land use the terms resin and gum as being synonymous and representative of the whole crude exudate. They never used the term oleo, and we shall do the same. Now let's tap into the full potential of plants. To do that, it is important to mention here that alcohol tinctures and aqueous solutions from medicinal herbs also have God-given healing powers, but they are different from those of essential oil distillates. While the oil might be effective for one condition, the tinctures and solutions may be effective for others and may not be effective for the same conditions as the oil. Dried herbs are concentrates of the non-volatile portions of plant fluids which become available for healing by applying them as poultices and by brewing them as various teas. The consumption of living herbs, fresh greens, and vegetables is yet another avenue of tapping into the healing capabilities of these plants. God's intent for us to use plants for our medicines, as we see in Ezekiel 47 verse 12 and Revelation 22 verse 2, is more than just their oil. God's intent is for us to take responsibility for our own health care and use the intelligence that He has given us, guided by Him through prayer. This is the way that we can personally discover the medicines that He created for us and how to use them. And this is how we can alter our lifestyles to live free of disease, which is God's desire for us. Now, when we surrender our health care decisions entirely to our paid professionals, whose training is in commercial medicines devised for profit and the maintenance of a secular atheistic system, we are not taking responsibility for our own health care. We are not following God's divine instructions. we are submitting to a guardian-ward relationship. And by such surrender to secular medicine, we are abdicating our birthright to health and longevity. Now, if you misplace your reading glasses in the kitchen, it will not help you to look for them in the living room. Scientific medicine does not have all of the answers. In fact, scientific medicine has nearly none of the answers. And in fact, if you truly want to be healed, well, and made whole, modern medicine hardly has any answers, especially when it comes to chronic disease. Looking for solutions to most diseased conditions within the medical practices of today is like looking for something that isn't there. It's in the wrong place. Mark 5, 25 and 26 and Luke 8, verse 43 explain that. And if we restrict ourselves to what the medical community has to offer, most of the time, we will have cut ourselves off from any hope of any real healing. Modern medicine has treatments. Modern medicine has no cure. And the cures for most illnesses do not exist within that system, but they do exist in healing oils of the Bible. Now, if you pray with an open mind, free of the influences of modern medical propaganda and pharmaceutical advertising, you will be led by God to consider alternative medicine, and you would be guided to step outside of today's medicinal conventions. Much of what is called alternative medicine in today's terminology is actually original medicine, that which was effective thousands of years ago, but which has been forgotten, suppressed, or lost, and supplanted by the chemical medical industry of our modern era. If you can clear yourself of these prejudices that modern health education may have planted in your mind by corporate medicine, and if you can pray and sincerely surrender to God, you will be guided to consider the entire spectrum of medicinal plant possibilities. Fresh leaves, dried herbs, water, tincture, and oil. And this book, however, is focused on the oils. How and why essential oils heal. Essential oils, that is the oleo portion of the plant fluid, are chemically very special in the universe of God's natural substances. Whether they are used in a pure concentrated state, in the natural whole juice, or the fresh plant, dissolved in a fat, or as aromatic vapors inhaled in the air, their healing power has been known and used since the most ancient of times. And this is testified to in Egyptian hieroglyphics dating back more than 5,000 years ago. They are considered to be the first medicines of mankind and were an important part of the prescriptions of Hippocrates, the famous Greek physician whose works were published around 400 BC. Essential oils are composed of tiny molecules, all less than 500 atomic mass units in molecular weight. By contrast, fatty oils are composed of much larger molecules, many weighing in excess of 1,000 AMUs and more. This difference is very crucial to understanding why it is that these essential oils heal and the fatty acids in the fatty oils do not, at least not in the same ways. Now, because of their infinitesimal size, essential oil molecules can easily pass through all of the tissues of the plant and into their very cells, passing right through cell walls. And thus they bring nutrition and information into the cell and carry waste products out. The fact that they are oils, mixtures of lipid compounds, enhances this penetrating power, enabling them to administer to the plant's needs from gross circulation to the internal workings of a cell. Any essential oil placed anywhere on the body is transdermal, and it can reach every part of your body within minutes. Some people can put an oil, such as cinnamon, cassia or peppermint, on the soles of their feet and then taste it on their tongue in less than 60 seconds. Now, you should use caution, and you should not be putting oils neat on sensitive areas of your skin. The bottoms of your feet are okay. Now, oils as universal medicines. In serving plant functions, essential oils perform many duties. They regulate plant growth, like hormones, and they help in plant metabolism, like enzymes. They also provide the basis for the plant's immune system, warding off undesirable viruses, bacteria, microbes, fungi, parasites, and insects. When a plant is cut, it bleeds the oleogum resin into the wound, which initiates healing. Now, because God created the plants for us, as we see in Genesis 1, verses 11 and 12, and verse 28, their oils can serve many of the same purposes for us as they do in plants. Thus, they can support and balance our endocrine, circulatory, digestive, nervous, and reproductive systems. They can clear out our sinuses and lungs to help us breathe. They can help us metabolize our nutrients, such as minerals and vitamins. They can also boost the natural defenses of our immune systems so that we can fight off diseases by our own abilities. And while they are friendly to us, they can be hostile to bacteria, viruses, parasites, and fungi. It is in this way that they can attack invading offenders directly. Now, many oils applied to our skin are also effective insect repellents. For instance, cedar wood and myrrh are excellent in this regard, a fact that has been well known and applied since ancient times. Citronella was also used as an insect repellent in biblical times, but is not mentioned in the Bible. A few drops of mint, a biblical oil, can be mixed with water and sprayed on those bushes to control aphids. And just as the bleeding resins of plants fill the wound and initiate the healing processes for the plant, pouring on of essential oils into cuts and wounds can accelerate healing and protect from infectious disease or infections because of their antiseptic capabilities. Most essential oils are microbicides to some extent. The most gentle biblical oils are called aloes, such as sandalwood, balm, bay, bdellium, coriander, cumin, frankincense, galbanum, henna, juniper, myrrh, anacha, rue, acacia, and spikenard. The stronger antiseptic biblical oils include anise, calamus, cassia, cedarwood, cinnamon, cypress, dill, fir, hyssop, mint, mustard, mustard seed, pine, turberinth, and wormwood. And there are still more healing properties of oils. As if the foregoing were not enough to demonstrate the amazing abundance of healing properties of these essential oils, they're also the world's most powerful antioxidants that can gobble up free radicals in our bodies. Scientists at Tufts University have developed a scale for the U.S. Department of Agriculture called the ORAC test. ORAC stands for Oxygen Radical Absorption Capacity. That's your ORAC, Oxygen Radical Absorption Capacity. The higher the ORAC score, the more capable that particular food or oil is of destroying free radicals, thus retarding the aging process and preventing cancer and many other diseases. The lists on the next page give some examples of the ORAC scores. When we talk about antioxidant ORAC scores for selected fruits and vegetables. Carrots score at 210. Oranges at 750. Beets at 840. Raspberries at 1220. Strawberries at 1540. Blueberries at 2400. And wolfberries at 25,300. Now, the antioxidant, that is the ORAC scores for selected essential oils. Sandalwood, 1,655. Juniper, 2,517. Rosemary, 3,309. Rose of Sharon, 38,624. Cinnamon bark, 103,448. Thyme, 159,590. Clove, 10,786,875. So when we talk about the antioxidant scores for carrots, oranges, beets, raspberries, strawberries, blueberries, and wolfberries, it runs at something like 3,000 or 4,000. But when we talk about the antioxidant scores for essential oils, it ranges up into the hundreds of thousands. That's how powerful these antioxidants and how powerful these selected essential oils are. All of the oils listed above were in use during biblical times, and all but rosemary, thyme, and clove are mentioned in the Bible by name. The contrast in the two sets of figures is striking. Chinese wolfberries are the highest scoring food in the world, while clove is the highest scoring essential oil and is more than 400 times more potent as an antioxidant than wolfberries. 400 times more potent than the best food. Most essential oils score higher than most fruits and vegetables, as the two tables above show. In fact, essential oils have the highest ORAC scores of all of the substances known in the world. 1 ounce of clove oil has the antioxidant capacity of 450 pounds of carrots. Let me repeat that. 1 ounce of clove oil has the antioxidant capacity of 450 pounds of carrots. 120 quarts of blueberries, or 48 gallons of beet juice. You would have to eat 450 pounds of carrots, or you would have to eat 120 quarts of blueberries, or you would have to drink 48 gallons of beet juice to get the antioxidant nutritional food value of 1 ounce of clove oil. While eating foods high in antioxidants is a desirable and indeed a very healthy thing to do, learning to use essential oils in your daily life can potentially be even more desirable and even more health-producing. The exceptionally high ORAC scores of essential oils partially explains why living with them in your daily environment, to breathe them, to eat them, and to apply them to your body can support all of your systems and contribute effectively towards long, healthful living. Even when used in very small quantities, and even when only inhaling them, longevity was common in early Old Testament times. In the fifth chapter of Genesis, we read about Adam, who lived 930 years, Methuselah, who lived 969. Both were healthy throughout their long lives. Both begat many sons and daughters throughout the many centuries of their lifetimes. Perhaps essential oils played a role in their virile and vigorously long lives. Now, God's intelligence is displayed in essential oils. The beauty of these oils is that, as medicines, they do not have negative side effects like the synthetic drugs and chemicals of modern pharmacology. For example, the tinctures of iodine, Merthiolate, mercurochrome, and other antiseptics may be effective in killing organisms that could invade an open lesion or wound, but they are extremely toxic, they are destructive to human tissue, and they retard healing. Oils are not only just as effective in their antiseptic powers, but they are non-toxic, harmless to human tissue, and they promote healing. And because they are direct creations of God's Word, as we see in Genesis 1, verses 11 and 12, when they are properly applied in a prayerful way, they possess the divine intelligence to know how to do what is beneficial and how to avoid doing that which may bring harm. Now, we ought to know the truth about antibiotics. And when it comes to dealing with an illness of bacterial or viral origin, the antibiotics of doctors today are totally ineffective because viruses, which are the causes of flus and common colds, when they do that, or they do what they are designed to do, that is, destroy the pathogenic bacteria in our bodies, these not only destroy the friendly bacteria that our bodies need to support the metabolism and the immune functions of the body, but they also destroy all of the bacteria, good and bad. When we have recovered from an illness with the help of antibiotics, the invading organisms may have been destroyed, but our immune systems have also been depressed. This makes us even more susceptible to the next invasion of a bacteria, a fungus, or a virus. Hence, when children start receiving antibiotics for ear infections and other ailments of childhood, they get caught in a descending spiral of ever-recurring sickness. Once they get over one illness, they're ripe for the next illness. When they're sick again, their systems require stronger and stronger antibiotics until they eventually end up with some sort of chronic and possibly serious disease later in life. This is because prescription drugs, as flawed fabrications of men, are spiritually dead and devoid of divine intelligence to know how to do only the right thing and not to do evil. Hey, let me pause right here and give you a friendly reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Remember, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives and can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Now, The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. And The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. We are reviewing the book, Essential Oils, The Healing Oils of the Bible by David Stewart, and a companion book called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple, also written by David Stewart. I don't know the prices of these books. I guess I ought to find out before I come on the air, but I'm given these and I review them. I read them and then I make notes and I put things down, and they don't often, oftentimes they do not have the prices written in them. Most of the material that we get come from such sources as Amazon.com or from our local bookstores. These books are probably published by the authors, or the author in this case. His name, David Stewart. The address is Rural Route 4, that's RR4, Box 646, Marble Hill, Missouri, 63764. Again, that's Care Publications, RR4, Box 646, Marble Hill, Missouri, 63764. Their phone, 573-238-4846. Again, that's area code 573-238-4846. I rank these two books as about a 100-to-1 read. You'll read 99 books before you'll find a couple of books like these. I say they're dynamite. Now let's take a look at smart medicine. By contrast, when essential oils are used to attack a bacteria which has invaded your body, they're selective because these essential oils are imbued by God Almighty Himself with intelligence. These oils know which are the bad bacteria and which are the good ones, which are the bad viruses and which are the harmless viruses, so that when they have killed off the bacteria causing these sicknesses, the good bacteria are still alive to service. Healing and dealing with bacterial illness with God's medicine leaves our immune system stronger after the illness than before, thus working toward the prevention of any future disease. It's the exact opposite of pharmaceutical medicine. This is quite unlike antibiotics that weaken us and encourage the contraction of future diseases. Now, we're not saying that antibiotics have no place in the healing arts, but they should be used sparingly, if at all, and with caution. Their side effects must be taken into account. Their long-term negative consequences may, in many cases, outweigh any immediate temporary benefit. Now, God created our bodies to fight off most infections. That's why He gave us an immune system. So it's important not to take medicine or any substance that compromises the innate healing abilities that God has given us in our immune systems. God's medicines support our innate healing abilities. Seek the opinion of a competent healing professional who understands and accepts God's role in healing in matters such as these. Now, why do these healing oils have a fragrance? Because if you can't smell an oil at a distance, it probably isn't essential. Exceptions to this include some natural volatile oils that have only faint fragrances, not always perceptible to some people. But the healing oils of the Bible are all aromatic, even when their aromas are not strong. And that is to say, they are volatile, and they can be inhaled. And we can't smell liquids or solids. We can only smell gases. Only molecules that can vaporize and leap into the atmosphere, into the air, can enter the nose and be smelled. Most essential oils are noticeably fragrant, some strongly so. Some are pleasant and some not so pleasant. Some are only weakly detectable to the nose, and in all cases, the oils do easily evaporate, which is because their molecules are so small and so energetic. Hence, the molecular property, small size, that enables them to penetrate human tissue and pass through cell membranes is also the property that makes it possible to smell them and to take them into our bodies through the olfactory system. In so doing, the molecules not only reach all parts of our bodies by way of the bloodstream, accessed through our lungs, they also go directly to the brain, crossing the blood-brain barrier. Thus, originates the term aromatherapy, where essential oils can be applied for therapeutic purposes merely by inhaling or breathing in their aromas. Now, there are two kinds of oils in plants. Vegetable oils cannot enter the bloodstream nor cross the blood-brain barrier. Vegetable oils uses in aromatherapy are restricted to providing a neutral lipid base in which essential oils can be blended for massage or diluted when application of the pure concentrated oil may be too strong. The molecules of fatty oils are too large to evaporate and too large to penetrate cellular dimensions and circulate through the tissues of your body. While essential oils were created to circulate within a plant to carry out its functions as a living creation, fatty oils are manufactured in the seed where they remain uncirculated through the life of the plant. This is as God intended. The heavy seed oils of a plant are for the future preservation of the species, not for the current life of the plant that produces them. To manufacture the sugars and starches that serve as food to the plant, it takes sunlight beaming on green stems and leaves containing chlorophyll along with a root system to draw minerals and moisture out of the earth. When a seed first germinates in the ground, it has no stem, leaves, or roots. So how is the budding new plant supposed to live until its food factory is ready for production? Well, the answer is in the fatty oil, where just enough food has been provided to the new plant to live until that plant can make its own food. That's why God put the oil there and why it does not circulate. The fatty oil is an advance payment to the young plant until it can produce on its own, at which time the debt is paid back to God as a contribution to the next generation. Most seeds also contain both fatty and essential oils. Biblical examples include anise, coriander, cumin, dill, and mustard. Now, when these seeds are pressed to squeeze out their vegetable oils, the volatile essential oils usually evaporate, leaving the fatty oils behind. When seeds are steam distilled, only the lighter essential oils pass through the evaporation condensation process, leaving the fatty oils back in the plant or in the plant mass in the cooker. In some cases, the leaves and stalks of a plant, such as dill, produce a different essential oil than the seeds. Hence, from the same plant source, both fatty and aromatic oils can be obtained, as well as more than one variety of the aromatic kind. Some fatty oils, such as olive oil, contain aromatic molecules as well. The beaten oil of biblical times was a blend of both types of oil. Take a look at chapter 11 entitled Olive, the other healing oil of the Bible. I covered that in the last program. Now, let's take a look at the sex life of plants. While fatty oils are placed in the plant to play a role in reproduction, essential oils also play a role in that regard as well. Plants use their odors to attract animals and insects by which they pollinate an essential step in growing fertile seed for the continuation of the species. It is interesting to note that the strong attracting fragrances of some flowers disappear sometimes within 30 minutes. Once they have been pollinated, they disappear. Hence, when extracting oils from flowers, it is critical to do so at the right time before the desired aromatic essential oil has been chemically altered and removed by the plant. Of course, from time immemorial, women have worn perfumes fashioned from the scents of leaves, roots, and flowers to attract men and to make themselves appealing to the opposite sex. For example, in Esther 2, verse 12, applied oils of myrrh and other perfumes to her body for a whole year in preparation for her marriage to King Ahasuerus. King Solomon, in his Song 4, chapter 4, verses 9 through 16, sings of how his bride has ravished his heart and extols the fragrance of the oils of his beloved, mentioning by name the perfumed oils of nard, henna, camphor, saffron, calamus, cinnamon, frankincense, myrrh, and aloes called sandalwood. Thus we find many parallels between the ways in which essential oils serve both plants and people. Now, one of the most powerful healing aspects of essential oils is their ability to penetrate the so-called blood-brain barrier. When you breathe oil molecules into the back passages of your nose, they go straight to the brain in a central part called the amygdala. This is the central headquarters of the limbic system, which manages your storage and filling or filing system for all of your emotional experiences. That part of your brain does not understand words and cannot be communicated to with spoken or written language. It responds only to smell. Hence, essential oils provide a powerful means to contact that nonverbal portion of our brains that stores our feelings and emotions. This is why when you smell apple pie, for example, you may find yourself thinking back to your grandmother's kitchen as a little child. That's why the smell of frankincense brings a Catholic back to the sanctuary where they went to church and inhaled that fragrance on so many Sundays many years ago when you were a child. Now, you'll be interested to know that whereas the center of your brain is the coordinator of emotional memories, the memories are not actually stored there. The memory part of your brain performs the functions of a librarian who catalogs all of these emotional memory books and then assigns them to a location on the shelves of your bodily temple to hold that information for future reference. When we have an emotional experience, especially a traumatic or a painful emotional experience, the amygdala assigns a part of your body to remember that experience until you're ready to deal with it. Your body is composed of some 100 trillion cells, each with a strand of DNA capable of storing up to 6 gigabytes of memory that can replicate RNA memory strands without limit. The emotional brain can delegate any place in your body to store a feeling or an emotional memory. And you will never run out of a memory storage space. What you carry in your body is greater than the combined memories of all of the computers in the world. You and every other human being thus has this amazing capability. Now, if you think that the human species is the result of billions of years of chance evolution from the accidental juxtaposition of the elements, understanding the beautifully structured memory storage and retrieval system that we each possess is more than sufficient to disprove such notions. Only a kind and benevolent God could conceive and create such elegant and complex sophistication and then keep all of it working with no conscious thought on our parts whatsoever. Now, here's how your emotions can make you ill or make you sick. When an essential oil penetrates into the central nervous system, into your brain, it makes it possible for us to access forgotten memories of emotions with which we need to deal. These stored emotions can make us sick. If they are stored in your stomach, you can have stomach ailments. If it's in the pancreas, you can have diabetes. If it's in the liver, you can have many problems. If in the thyroid or other endocrine glands, you will have hormonal problems. If in the joints, you can have arthritis. Now, stored emotions can cause cancer, too, which is why women whose breasts are their physical expression of love and nurturing often have breast cancer. In such cases, some emotional trauma has been repressed and stored in cellular memory that blocks a woman's natural ability to let love flow towards others and or towards themselves. Hence, when essential oils trigger an emotionally upsetting memory, it gives us an opportunity to deal with that emotion and then release it from our system, thereby affecting a healing. Sometimes this healing is instantaneous with the release of the emotion, and sometimes it takes longer. In either case, a healing results. Now, it was thought for years that the interstitial tissues of the brain served as a barrier to keep damaging substances from reaching the neurons of the brain and the cerebrospinal fluid. Instead of a barrier, it would be more accurate to consider it as a sieve or a filter through which only molecules of a certain size can pass. Most of these molecules of the substances used in chemotherapy are far too large to pass through the blood-brain filter, which is why doctors say that chemotherapy does not work on brain cancer. Some of the smaller molecules get through, but not the whole suite of drugs intended. Doctors do not know for sure, but it seems that in order to cross the blood-brain barrier, only molecules less than 800 to 1,000 atomic mass units in molecular weight can get through. Lipid solubility seems to be another factor which facilitates passing through the blood-brain barrier. Water-soluble molecules don't usually penetrate into the brain tissue, even when it is very small. The molecules of essential oils are all not only small, but lipid-soluble as well. Let me read that sentence again. The molecules of essential oils are all not only small, but lipid-soluble as well. In fact, when it comes to essential oils, these small molecules, which are less than 500 AMUs in atomic weight, are what they are made of. That's why they're aromatic. They float in the air. They're tiny. They're small. The only way for something to be aromatic is for the molecules to be so small that they readily leap into the air so they can enter our noses and be detected as odor and smell. That's why oils for cooking or massage, such as corn oil, peanut oil, sesame seed oil, safflower, walnut, almond, canola, olive, and other oils pressed from seeds are not aromatic. It is true that they have a smell, but you can't smell them across the room in minutes as one can when you open a bottle of peppermint or hyssop or cinnamon oil. Essential oils of every species cross the blood-brain barrier, and this makes them uniquely able to address disease, not only from a physical level, but from a more basic and fundamental level, that of the emotions, which are often the root cause of physical illness. Now, here's a quick course in chemistry. Because of the tiny molecular structure of the components of an essential oil, they are extremely concentrated. One drop of essential oil contains approximately 40 million trillion molecules. Numerically, that is a 4 with 19 zeros after it. We have 100 trillion cells in our body, and that's a bunch. But one drop of essential oil contains enough molecules to cover every cell in our bodies with 40,000 molecules. When you consider that it only takes one molecule of the right kind to open a receptor site and communicate with the DNA to alter cellular function, you can see why even inhaling a small amount of oil vapor can have profound effects on your body, upon your brain, and upon your emotions. Sometimes, too many oil molecules overload the receptor sites, and they freeze up without responding at all, when a smaller amount would have been just right. This is why we say that when using oil, sometimes less is better. Sometimes more is better, too. Knowing the difference is called the art of aromatherapy. Essential oils are mixtures of dozens, in some cases even hundreds of constituents, all of which are composed of carbon and hydrogen and sometimes oxygen. All essential oils are principally composed of a class of organic compounds built of isoprene units, and an isoprene unit is a set of 5 connected carbon atoms with 8 hydrogens attached. Their molecular weight is only 68 AMU, which is very, very small indeed. Molecules built of isoprene units are all classified as terpenes. Terpenes are what make essential oils unique in the world of natural substances. Then we have phenols. Phenols are compounds of carbon ring molecules incorporating one isoprene unit. They're sometimes called hemiterpenes, and there are dozens of varieties of these phenylpropionides, and they're found in clove 90%, cassia 80%, basil 75%, cinnamon 73%, oregano 60%, anise 50%, and peppermint 25%. And while they can create conditions where unfriendly viruses and bacteria cannot live, the most important function performed by these phenylpropionoids is that they clean the receptor sites on the cells. Without clean receptor sites, cells cannot communicate, and the body then malfunctions. This malfunction we call sickness and disease. Hey, I'm about out of time. I'm going to have to give you a reminder here so that we can get on the same wavelength. This book is written by Dr. David Stewart. He didn't call himself Doctor, I did. He's a PhD, David Stewart, Healing Oils of the Bible, and he wrote a companion book called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple. You can order these books. I recommend them highly. You can get a copy. Just call him, 573-238-4846. Ask him what the price is. That telephone number again, 573-238-4846. Care Publications, RR4, Box 646, Marble Hill, Missouri, 63764. That's David Stewart, Marble Hill, Missouri. All right, we're about out of time. I got to give you a final reminder here if I can find my script. Let me remind you that you are or have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Here, time is up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.